Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Bob Oliver and Pat Cormier and Doug Rankin and myself, we give you thanks for your prayers that you prayed up for us while we were away. And we had two goals when we went to Honduras. One was to build a building. But the most important goal we had was to build some relationships with people, and I think we accomplished all of that. So thank you, and we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do through the little church there that has grown in the last 16 months from 8 people to almost 70. So pray for Kilometro 7, Siete, Kilometro Siete, and their growth, and that the Lord will help and enable. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 this morning. And I want you to pay special attention as we read these verses as to how many times the words in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved are mentioned. So as we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory." In his book, Your Church is Too Safe, Mark Buchanan shares the following story about a Russian pastor named Father John Sergiev. And Buchanan writes, "John was a priest in Kronstadt, Russia, in the mid to late 19th century. That was a time and a place of dirty marketplaces. Imperial Russia was decadent, rotting beneath its own weight, and the streets were dangerous, rife with poverty and depravity. Crime ran amok. Alcoholism was rampant. Prostitutes crowded the corners, thieves the alleyways. There was no safe place, so most people who weren't part of that world didn't venture into it. Most of the clergy, used to a life of privilege and status, used that waning powers that they had to insulate themselves from the widespread peril and hardship. But not so Father John. His daily practice was to don his robe, descend into the meanest part of the city. He'd walk among the addicts and the predators, the whores and the thieves and the orphans and the widows, and he did it with healing in his wings. He would find the most broken and dissolute man or woman he could track down, lying in a gutter or standing on a street corner, and he would cup their chin in his large hand, and he would lift their face so that they were looking into his eyes, and he would say, "This," meaning the way of life they were living, this means of survival, this condition I found you in, "This is beneath your dignity. You were created to house the glory of the living God." This loving pastor was telling these poor, wasted, downtrodden people on the streets of Russia, "This isn't who you are. This isn't who you should be. You were created for greater things than this. You were created to glorify God. This is beneath your dignity." Identity is so very important, isn't it? And that is why I love these verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. They make it so clear as to who I am as a Christian and what God wants from me. I was living for so many years beneath the dignity that I was supposed to live until God took hold of me and he showed me through Christ who I could be and today who I am. And my purpose today, and I hope it's your purpose as well, is to glorify God in your life and bring glory to him until we all get to glory, until we see him face to face as we were singing. So you, my brother and sister in Christ, are a very rich person, as you heard last week. That old life of sin that once plagued each one of us is beneath our dignity and the dignity that God created us for. You are now God's very own possession for all of eternity. You watched the Super Bowl last Sunday. You would have seen Michael Orr. Michael Orr, number 74 for the Baltimore Ravens. And some of you know his history, a bit about his history from the movie The Blind Side. I don't know if it's all very accurate, but you would have seen it. And Michael was destitute. He was living in poverty. And then a loving family decided that they were going to take him into their home and give him a life. It really is a story of how a poor boy came from rags to riches. And in the movie, you'll remember that Michael had this passion, this desire, that he wanted to get a driver's license. And when he went to get his driver's license, though they had no record of who he was, they had no birth certificate of who he was, he wanted a driver's license so he could show a picture of himself to other people and say, "This is who I am. I'm Michael Orr, and that's my name." But he had a difficult time doing it because he had no identity. I know who I am this morning. Do you? Identity is so important to God, and today you are going to see as a Christian just who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. It's all because of him. This is a great passage of scripture from the Word of God. And God is saying in this passage, Christian, this is who you are, and this is the way you should be living. And if you are living a life that is contrary to what is written in this word, then you are living beneath your dignity. And we're going to see that our position as Christians before the living God is above everything else. It isn't a matter of social status. Our wealth or lack of it means nothing. It doesn't matter if we're popular with our friends or not. If you have grown up in a Christian home or whether you were saved later on in life. If you are in Christ today, if you have been born into the family of God this morning, you belong to God. You belong to this awesome God that we've been singing about today. And you know what? We are all on the same playing field. No one is elevated above the other in the eyes of God. When God looks at his children, he sees us all on the same level. And he sees us through Christ. And isn't that a wonderful thing? And that gives us reason this morning to say,
hallelujah.
Try it again. That gives us reason this morning to say,
hallelujah.
What a Savior. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within us. Bless his holy name today. So Paul begins in verse 3 of this passage with words of praise, with words of thanksgiving to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what was going through Paul's mind when he penned these words. Maybe he was thinking back to those days when he was a persecutor of the church of God and when he had Christians martyred. Or maybe he had his focus on this church at Ephesus, these ones who had been rescued out of an idolatrous lifestyle. I don't know. At any rate, Paul wants to bless the Lord. And this word here about blessing includes both praise and thanksgiving to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ lived on this earth as a man, even though he himself was God, he subjected himself to the God and Father in heaven. And after Jesus rose from the grave, he came in contact, you remember, with Mary in the garden. And Mary was so happy to find out that he was alive, she grabbed him and she clung to him. And Jesus said, "Stop clinging to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren," Jesus said, "and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God." Jesus, in his humanity, humbled himself to recognize that God was his God and God was his Father, the same God and Father that Mary worshiped, and the same God and Father that you and I today should worship from the Scriptures. So who is your God? Who's your Father? I hope it's the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants us to praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because he has blessed us. God has blessed us. And our blessings to God are primarily given in words, aren't they? Throughout the Scriptures, especially in the Psalms, we read about blessings coming to God from the lips of others. David wrote in Psalm 63 and verse 3, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Is this how you're feeling this morning? Is this how you want to bless the Lord, by praising him and giving thanks to him? Well, let's do it right now. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That was a warm-up. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Sounded great from up here. We bless the Lord God with our lips, but God blesses us as well with his mighty works. He has blessed us, the Bible says here in our passage, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's because of Christ that we receive these blessings. So what are those blessings that God has blessed us with? First of all, we read in this passage that God chose us in him. God chose us in him in verse 4. And this is what many would call divine election. And if you are a believer here today, you were sovereignly chosen by God in Christ. And does this mean that you're somewhat better than the next person? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It was God's prerogative to choose you. And for this, our lips should never cease to praise and give thanks to him. But here's how it works. The entire human race is condemned and on the road to hell. The Bible makes this clear in Romans chapter 3 that none of us is righteous. No, not one. None of us is good. And as a result, we are condemned. Yet God in his mercy chose some to be saved. And the word chose here means to select out of something. So we are chosen. But does this mean that God arbitrarily chooses to condemn others? I don't think so. Because none of us deserves to be saved. We all deserve to be in hell. And it's only by his grace that some are saved today. We were all condemned. And Paul goes on in verse 4 to tell us when we were elected for salvation. Before the foundation of the world, Paul wrote. Before God made the heavens or God made the earth, his plan was to save us through Christ. And that plan was already in place. And he chose me and he saved me in his mind before the foundation of the world. And let me tell you, that is a very humbling thought to think that God would choose people to salvation. What was God's purpose in saving us, in choosing us through Christ? Look at the end of verse 4 in your Bibles. So that we would be, what? Holy and righteous before him. Positionally, brothers and sisters, we are holy and righteous in the eyes of God because of Christ. And it is important for us to remember that apart from Christ, we would all go to hell. He chose us in Christ to be holy and righteous. And when God looks at me as a Christian, he's looking at me as a holy and a righteous individual positionally, because he is looking at me through the lens of Jesus Christ, who is nothing but purity and holiness. Peter explained last week that the first part of this book deals mainly with the positional aspect of believers, and the last part, chapters 4 to 6, deal with the practical aspects of Christian living. Well, practically speaking, we do not live holy and righteous lives continually, do we? Now, that's something that Paul is going to deal with in chapters 4 through 6, but We are right now positionally holy and righteous in the eyes of God. So the first spiritual blessing is that God has given to us is that he has chosen us. The second spiritual blessing is that God predestined us to be adopted as his sons. The verse tells us that it was his divine will to do so. So those of you this morning who are here and you're females, you're probably wondering, why doesn't this verse say sons and daughters? There's a very good reason why Paul put that word sons in there, and we're going to hear about it through the eyes of someone who lives in a non-Western culture. And it comes from a writing of Tim Keller. This girl was studying a passage on adoption in Paul's writings, and she suddenly realized that the Apostle Paul was making a revolutionary claim. Paul lived in a traditional culture just like she did. He was living in a place where daughters were second-class citizens. And when Paul said, out of his own traditional culture, that we are all sons in Christ, he was saying that there are no second-class citizens in God's family. When you give your life to Christ and become a Christian, you receive all the benefits that a son enjoys in a traditional culture. And as you know, if you were born a boy in non-Western culture, such as what Paul was born into, the son had a place of privilege. The girls came second. But Paul here is saying, no more of that. We're all sons. We all have the same privilege as sons do. We're all equal. All of this happens so that God will receive glory for his abundant grace that he has bestowed on us in the Beloved. The Beloved, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I don't know if we can appropriately appreciate how the heart of God was affected when he had to sit back and watch the love of his life, his beloved son being crucified on a cross, and how he suffered there, and how he shed his life's blood there for us. We can't really appropriately appreciate that. But God's heart, I'm sure, was broken in a sense to have seen what was taking place to Jesus Christ. Oh, the power of the cross. We can't really underestimate the power of the cross where Jesus suffered and died to pay for our sins. And this leads us to the third spiritual blessing, the blessing of redemption through Jesus' blood. The word redemption that is used here is very significant in light of who we are and how we were saved. It literally means to buy back. And so, we were all sinners. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he did that to redeem us. He did that to buy us back from our sin that we were involved in so that we could become the children of God. He bought us back. He paid the price. The price was costly. And it was, again, because of the riches of God's grace that we have been saved. And God didn't spare anything, did he, when he poured out his grace upon us? The scripture says here that he lavished his grace upon us. It means that it was more than abundant that he poured out this grace upon us. His grace toward us, our God, is an awesome God. And some might be asking, why would God do this? Why would God go to such lengths to redeem lost sinners to himself? Well, the answer is found in verses 8 through 10 in the words of Charles Hodge. The purpose of God, which he has been pleased to reveal and which was hidden for ages, is his intention to reunite all things as one harmonious whole under Jesus Christ. This, of course, is in reference to all the redeemed, the body of Christ, the church, with Christ as its head. And so a fourth spiritual blessing is found in verses 11 through 14, where both Jews and Gentiles receive the same inheritance in Christ. The Jews were the first ones, weren't they, who had the opportunity to be saved. They were the first who had that privilege, but you know, they turned their back on the Savior. Some were saved, and so that blessing came to the Gentiles as well, and it was God's sovereign will for that to happen. And so today, we receive an inheritance, but it is all based by faith in Christ. Regardless of whether it was a Jew or a Gentile, it was faith. The faith was the basis of being blessed by God and being counted as one of his sons. The scripture tells us that because we have this inheritance and because of this blessing, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and this is the final spiritual blessing. Every Christian is sealed with God's Holy Spirit. It's like God is saying, there's the stamp. It's my stamp. And it's a stamp that says, I am going to fulfill all my promises that I have promised to you in Christ. And it was done in eternity. You'll notice in this passage of Scripture that in verse 13, Paul was speaking to the Gentiles, primarily. In him, you, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You see, God chose us. We heard the message of the gospel of salvation, and we responded to that, which is part and parcel of the whole package of salvation. Having also believed, Paul said, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge by God of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. Again, it's to the praise of his glory that all of this took place. So my friends, today, I want us to think about all that we have in Christ. We are so rich in Christ, but it wasn't without a cost. It cost Jesus his life to give us life. And we're going to sing now together a song that's sung by Stuart Townend entitled The Power of the Cross. And the words are going to be on the screen. It may be new to some of you, but let's stand together as we sing this wonderful song, The Power of the Cross, in closing.
Became sin.
Isn't it wonderful to stand forgiven at the cross? And I pray, Lord God, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts today about the importance of this great, great historical event that took place when Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, I pray for every soul here today. I pray that each one would seriously consider Jesus. Jesus saves, and no one else. Father, I pray your blessing upon each one. God, go before us, I pray. May your Spirit invade our lives this week. We ask for the glory and praise of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's any that would like to remain behind and pray, we're going to stay here and pray with you. God bless you.